to me, trust is sort of a symptom of whether or not employee engagement exists. It's not possible, I don't believe, to have engagement, employee engagement, without trust. And the data shows that there's a significant gap between the GS-15s and above and those they are seeking to engage. And of course, we know that employee engagement is critical to increased agency efficiency, effectiveness, and productivity.
So let's just step back a minute and define trust, because it can be a sort of a nebulous thing. I think we know it when we feel it, but what exactly is it in the workplace?
Well, I think it's composed of two parts that are linked to connections, intellectual connections, and emotional connections. In order to have engagement, I think both must be present. So one aspect of trust I would describe as reliability-based trust, which means you know me well enough that when certain events occur, you know how I'm going to behave. And it might be slightly aberrational, but you know how I'm going to behave and you don't take it personally. So you understand who I am. But intellectual-based trust is not enough to create engagement, the kind of engagement where people would score 5 instead of 3. That comes from emotional or vulnerability-based trust. Am I able to connect with you in a way that I am able to show my vulnerability? So, for example, I might say, gee, I don't know the answer to that question, or I'd like your help instead of do it.
All right. So given the fact that the biggest gap is between really the top layer, the SES, I guess, and GS-15, and I guess for that matter, the political appointees and everyone down below that, some of which are also managerial, mm-hmm. What does that say about how people are getting promoted into the SES or to the GS-15 ranks? And is there some measure there that could be improved to get more trust worthy people in those positions?
I think the answer is yes. I think there's a lot of data, a lot of studies that show that oftentimes people are promoted because of their subject matter expertise. Jobs are described in terms of subject matter expertise at the GS-15 and SES level rather than what are my leadership skills and do I apply them, those skills, in a way that I would say create an environment where those I lead are willing to give me their discretionary energy to accomplish my goals and objectives.
We're speaking with Robert Tobias, director of the Key Executive Programs at the American University. And on that note, considering that many of those people have come from the ranks below GS-15, what happens to them when they are elevated above those who were their peers and presumably ones who had more trust in them? I mean, what happens when somebody rises to those upper levels?
What I think happens is that the distance grows because they're spending all of their time being subject matter expertise and there's no time left to create connections with those they lead. There's no time to have conversations. There's no time to develop relationships. So, for example, there have been studies that have been done over time to try to discover the single most important behavior a member of the SES might exhibit to increase his or her evaluation. And not surprisingly, what was discovered is the amount of time spent developing those they lead. So if I spend time developing you, by definition, I'm spending time getting to know who you are, I'm spending time understanding what your goals and objectives are, and I'm spending time helping you get to where you want to be. Now, if I spend that time, how hard are you going to work for me?
Right, and I'm going to like you a lot because you're investing in me.
Exactly. And yet, When I speak to members of the SES, they say, well, Bob, that's very interesting, but I don't have time to do that.
Crazy. So now there's been some other external factors in the last couple of years, and the furloughs and the sequestrations and the lack of raise that seems to have eroded trust. And because look at the morale figures coming in, you know, through the annual surveys. So do you think that some little daylight in that whole area can help at least some cohesiveness at the federal workforce level?
Well, I think that as a leader, I have a responsibility to be authentic. And to me, what that means is that I have the responsibility at least to be transparent about what I know. So, you know, I've seen some agencies where the leaders have never even addressed the issue of the impact of sequestration and furloughs in a personal way or in a way that would connect with those they lead. They issue announcements that saying, well, the budget's bad, we're going to have to furlough you for 13 days. I would say that's not an empathic message. And as a result, distance grows between leaders and led when I'm not authentic about what I know and how it impacts you as someone that I'm trying to lead. So I think that's an element of leadership skill, but more importantly, personal development that's missing in some leaders in the federal government.
So in other words, it's not enough just to be a transmitter of bad news that everybody knows, but you have to show that you feel their pain, I guess.
First of all, I have to describe my own pain. I mean, I'm not immune from freezes and furloughs, so I have to describe the impact on me, which in turn gives me credibility and authenticity to describe the impact on you as I see it.
It's empathy.
It is.
This is systemic, though. I mean, what you're describing, it seems, regardless of the era of government that we talk about, and regardless really of whether people are political appointees, new to government, or have worked their way up and now find themselves for the first time as managers. So how can the government do a better job of fostering trust throughout its ranks?
I think it has to be an element of leadership development, starting when people are not leaders, when they're aspiring leaders. Because when I'm an aspiring leader, I might think naively that really all I'm going to do is keep doing what I am doing, what I have been doing, and I'm going to get paid more. Now, that's pretty attractive. So I think that leadership development starts with those folks and asking people, are you really willing to give up your subject matter expertise? Are you willing to redefine success in terms of the success of the people you lead rather than your own personal success? Are you willing to co-create a team vision with those you lead? Are you willing to start thinking about something other than being the smartest person in the room?
And how does that type of thinking, that type of approach affect how managers do promotion and hiring if they want to be seen as trustworthy leaders?
Well, the more people who have that mindset, who have that point of view, the more people who will be on selection panels and make selection in those terms rather than terms of subject matter expertise.
I think I heard Lena Trudeau recently say that from GSA, that the A-plus people hire A-plus people, or the A people hire A-plus, and the B people hire C-grade people.
Well, that might be half the story, because the definition would be, what do I mean by C people? Do I mean C people in terms of their leadership potential, or do I mean C people in terms of their subject matter expertise? And I think that's an important distinction.